turn with us over in Acts chapter 10 this morning for the reading of the Word of God. In Acts chapter number 10, I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture here this morning so you can get the lay of the Scripture of the part of the message I'd like to get out of it this morning. In Acts chapter 10 and verse number 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he was showed in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, Cornelius. Then when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayer and thy alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou ought to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that wait on him continuously. And when he had declared these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he came very hungry and would have eat, but while yet made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descend unto him as it had been a great sheet knitted at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-foot beast of the earth and of fowl, wild beast, and of creeping things and of the fowl of the hour. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have neither eat anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again unto heaven. And now when Peter doubted, and himself, what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made to inquire of Simon's house and stood before the gate and called it and asked whether Simon, which were surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on this vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, These men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto them from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom thou seekest. What is it this calls? Wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feared God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews were warned of God by the holy angel to send for thee unto this house and to hear their words and to hear the words of thee. I'll stop there for the sake of time this morning. I hope you get the suggestion, but I'm going to use verse 24 here. The gospel has been preached to the Jew. And now then God is dealing with Peter's heart to take that key that he gave him in chapter 2 of the book of Acts as to open this gospel to the Gentile. And yet the Jews had not preached to the Gentiles. They had been called. They were an unwanted people. And yet God had saw the life of Cornelius. Now he's a good man. He's give alms unto his people. And you know what almsgiving is? That's when you give something to help someone and you don't tell anybody about it. You don't let the right hand know what the left hand doeth. And Cornelius is a leader. He was a good man. He was a man that had been good to his people. And yet he was a man of great leadership. He had the Italian band there in verse number one that it is controlled. He had a military that he was over. And we saw where he sent those two servants. And that soldier of the household that had watched after him and cared after him. And they have come down to this hour. And God said, hey, I want you, Cornelius, to send these boys. And I want you to send them down to Joppa, to the Simon the tanner's house. And you'll find one whose surname is Peter. And he has a word for thee. And so he sends these men. And so they get ready and they come. And we find in verse number 24, and look with me if you will. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius gathered his kinmen and near friends. I want to preach to you this morning from that verse on the first biblical homecoming. This is the first homecoming that we have record of in the Word of God. And Cornelius, as he sends for Peter, the man of God, he gathers his army, he gathers his Italian band, he gathers his friends and his relatives, and he all has them all at his house, ready to hear what the man of God is going to have a word unto them. Let me say, as you've worked, and ladies, you've cooked, and you've made plans, and brother, Stuart asked me some weeks ago about coming and preaching the homecoming, and I sure marked that down. I've been filling in for a little church and helping them get a pastor. But I said, if we ain't got them one by then, I'm going down to Gateway and I'm going to enjoy the homecoming. And hey, I want to tell you, it's a joyful time just to get together. And it's an exciting time. And as we come this morning, hey, did you know the same Jesus that Peter preached about is the same one I'm going to preach to you about? Hey, this morning, friend. And so he gathers them in. Now watch the transactions here. Peter's not preached to the Gentile. And they've stayed leery of him. But God let a sheet down as he fell in that trance on the housetop praying. And on that sheet, when it come down, it was full of beast and fowl. And split hoofs and forefoots and all of that. And he said, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter said, hey, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And Jesus says to him, Peter, what I do, don't you never call it common or unclean. I like that, don't you? And when he got over to Cornelius' house and he asked of them, and if you look in the latter part of verse 28, then you see here that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter's already got the message, but he's a little hard-headed. The Lord had to do it three times. He let it down. He said, kill and eat. Received it back. Peter says, it's common, unclean. And again, God lets it down. He says, kill and eat. And takes it again. And the third time, Brother Stewart, it gets on Peter what God's doing to him. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, sometimes we might be a little slow, but thank God I'm glad he don't give up on us. Thank God there's a work for a Gateway Baptist Church. Our souls to be saved. Our missionaries to go out. Hey, there's a gospel to preach this morning. I'm here to tell you, glory to God. Hey, let God speak to our hearts and show us and say, here's what I want you to do. Boy, when old Peter got it settled in his heart, now God said, Peter, you get off in this house. Said, they're already standing out there waiting on you.
When Peter come out, they didn't have to introduce themselves. He just said, "Hey, I'm Peter. What is it you want me to do?" And he said, "Cornelius has sent for thee. It's time you get over to his house." And Peter went with them, took some of his servants, and they went over to Cornelius' house. And when they got over there, Cornelius began to tell him of how that the Lord had showed unto him, hey, the great things. And God had blessed him. Now watch it. Don't fall out with me right here. Cornelius was a praying man. He was a good man. And he was an alms giver. But he wasn't saved. Now don't fall out with me until I get to through my message this morning. They have never had the gospel. They had never been preached to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was a good man. And he knew there was something that he needed. And when in that appearing of that angel, and he said, "It's got to be the Lord." He said, "What would you have me to do?" He said, "Send these boys over to Joppa. Get Peter. He has the words. I want you to know." You know why he sent for Peter? Peter, hey, sat in the upper room with him when he rose again. And he ate with him and he fellowshipped with him. He was an eyewitness of the resurrection. And he wanted Cornelius to have a clean cut phrase of the gospel to be preached unto him. And so we see here at this homecoming, and they gathered them all together. And Peter said, "I shall not call any man common or unclean." I look down in verse number 38. We see here that Cornelius in his prayer in verse 31 and remembered the sight of God. I look down in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, "I perceive that God is no respected person." I'm here to tell you, Peter come to the place. He said, "I don't care if it's a Jew or if it's a Gentile or if it's a barbarian. I'm going to preach him the gospel." And I'm here to tell you, thank God, I just come to preach to you a little bit of the gospel this morning. Woo, of the saving grace. And so in verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, hey, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and he was a witness of all this which he did both in the land of the Jews and at Jerusalem, whom slew and hang up on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. I want to tell you this morning, thank God on this homecoming, as you as a friends have come in this morning. Hey, you might say, "Preacher, I'm a good man. I've not done anybody bad or wrong." Well, let me say to you this morning, if you've not been saved by the good grace of God, hey, you're out of the family this morning, friend. Hey, you're lost. And how sad it is, hey, to die without God. I'm here to tell you this morning, friend, there's life after death. And Peter came to Cornelius and to these Gentiles that had been classified as outcast dogs, but thank God he gave them a glorious gospel and they got saved by the good grace of God. Hey, why? Because he told of one who had loved the world and he had loved it to the end. And they had taken him by wicked hands and led him out to Calvary and crucified him on the tree. Let me say to you this morning, you say, "Preacher, I don't believe anybody loves me." Yes, sir, there's one that loves you this morning. And I'm glad his name is Jesus, the darling Son of God. I want you to know he loves you this morning. He's concerned about you. He cares about you this morning. He's gone already and paid the price. Walked amongst men that denied him, lied on him, cheated on him, and took him and beat him with a cat of nine tails and placed a crown of thorns on his brow and beat him into his brow and whipped him till he was so mired that he was not even for man to look thereon. But I'm here to tell you, friend, he did it all for you. Why, preacher? Because he loves you this morning. Hey, Brother Stewart, last Sunday, 50 years ago, old Maple Springs Baptist Church, in 11 o'clock service like this, I asked God to come into my heart and life. 50 years ago, I just celebrated my spiritual birthday. Now I want to tell you, it's exciting this morning. Oh, I'm telling you, it's exciting this morning as it was 50 years ago when he saved me. There didn't much happen. They just said the preacher's boy got saved. But I want to tell you, glory to God, that was a work done in this old boy's heart that changed his life. He said, and you called my heart, and friend, I've not got over it yet. And thank God I just come by to tell you, still it works today. He loves you this morning. They whipped him. They denied him. Then they led him out to Calvary with an old rugged cross. Bearing that cross for you and me. Later down, laid himself on it. And they nailed him to a cross. And then they expended him between heaven and earth. And they stood afar off. And they wondered what was going to happen. But I want to tell you, after all the prophecies were fulfilled, when they offered him that vinegar to drink, and he bowed his head, he said, it's finished. I mean, at a thirsty hour, and yet friend, they were so rejected of him until they would not even offer him a drink of fresh water and yet mingle with gods how they offered him. And then when he did, it fulfilled all of the prophecy, and he hanged his head and he said, Father, it's finished. I want to tell you this morning, there is a finished plan of salvation for every man, boy, woman, and girl that lives on the face of this earth this morning. Friend, you don't have to die without God. Hey, you don't have to go to hell. I was preaching over there in that little country church the other day. And I said, hey, folks, I said, you've lived on these farms out here. You burnt brush piles. You burnt wood in the house. And I said, you've learned how to keep your hands out of the fire. I said, when you're going to learn how to keep your soul out of hell. Brother Stewart, God drove that dagger home. I'm here to tell you, folks started getting saved, amen, under the preaching of the gospel, and they decided they didn't want to go to hell. I've been going a month from over there. They called me Sunday and said half the church was on the altar, said we had two saved. Hey, God started revival, friend. I'm here to tell you this morning, hey, you're smart. Old Cornelius was a wise man. He was a good man. He was a smart man. But he had known not how to be saved. I need an old-time preacher just like me to come by and, Brother Stewart, tell you what you need to do to stay out of hell this morning on homecoming day. And did you know, that's what Cornelius had. He brought in all the friends. He brought in the armies. Did you know, Brother Stewart, historian tells me there could be as many there or maybe more than it was over in Acts chapter 2. When the 3,000 got saved. Think about it. It wasn't no small crowd. I mean that Italian band. That armies of soldiers that they had. And his household. And his kinmen. And his friends. They all came. There was a large, large number there. Friend, and Peter shared them the gospel and give them the truths, hey, the word of God, and they listened to it. And you know what happened? They got saved. They took that word at heart. And I'm here to tell you this morning, friend, hey, you can push him away and you can say no to him. And one day you'll come down to the end of life and die without God. And you say, preacher, what is a man that dies without God? He falls from grace. That's over in Galatians chapter 4. If you'll study that, that is not to a believer. That is to an unbeliever. Did you know a man that receives Christ as his Savior and gets born again, he can't fall from grace? Amen. And if you look, the only time that word falling from grace is mentioned in Galatians chapter 4 is to an unsaved man. What happens? He sends away the day of grace. He rejects, he puts off, he waits until death lays hold of him. My daddy was a preacher. You that never met my father, I wish you could have met him. What a man of God. What a preacher my dad was. Never traveled far over the country. Brother Stewart, my daddy went up in those mountains in 1942 and started building fundamental churches. And for almost 60 years, he preached in a little circle about 75 or 80 mile radius. But boy, God gloriously used that old man. How God used my dad to build churches and win souls to God. And to build fundamental churches, he went up in an area where they had never heard of eternal security. They had never been taught tithing. They had never heard of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know about sending missionaries to the field. And Daddy didn't know a whole lot about it. He just knew the Bible said it, and he's going to preach it, amen. And man, they got after him. I remember one night, seven men came to our house, called my dad out, and they said, we're going to whoop you. They got upset the way Dad was preaching on tithing, the second coming, and eternal security. And Dad said, any one of you can whoop me, I ain't going to fight you. But he said, before you do whoop me, I'm going to pray for you. And we had an old my Moshe tree out there in the corner of the front yard. And that's where Dad met him at. Boy, my daddy got a hold of God. He rested up and pulled down one of them old my Moshe limbs. He got pulling on that and swinging toward heaven free. And I'm telling you, when he said amen, that crowd was gone. The FBI couldn't have found them. God come on the scene. I'm here to tell you this morning, glory to God, there's power in prayer. There's power in preaching the gospel. There's power in winning souls, church. Amen. Let's let God get a hold of us this morning at homecoming and say, by God's grace, we're going to stay with the gospel and preach the word of God. Clean the mess up after a while, Pastor. Amen. Hey, I love preaching this blessed old book. Thank God, what a God I serve. What a power he is this morning. Friend, he'll keep you out of hell. You don't have to go to hell. But friend, if you determine you're not going to get saved, only thing wastes you is a hell that's hot with fire. My daddy, I rode down there again a few weeks ago. Went up in them mountains and rented the old Mighty Ridge schoolhouse. Little old tree out there. Dad made that his prayer altar outside of the old schoolhouse there. And I've seen him lay under that little oak tree and pray and ask God to do a work. I was there a few weeks ago, Brother Stewart, and me and my brother kind of reached around it. It's grown now to a mighty oak tree. But the old building's still standing there. And I stood there just a few moments and wept from an experience I seen happen in that little schoolhouse. My daddy preached one Sunday morning. There's people outside that little schoolhouse filled up on the inside. And there was a girl who came that Sunday morning invitation down the aisle, that little schoolhouse, and told my daddy she wanted to be saved. Dad bowed with her in the altar. Her dad was outside sitting under a tree. That old man come in and said, you're not making a fool out of my daughter. Said, she don't know what she's a-doing. So what do you think you're trying to do to my daughter? And grabbed her by the arm and drug her down the aisle of that little schoolhouse and taking her home and said, you're not making a fool out of me and your mother. Years came and years went. One day my dad got a call to come to Elkin Hospital. And when we got there, all the doors of the hallways were shut. And down in the lower end of the hallway, we heard a scream and a cry. My dad hurried up. He got down there, and I was following him. And he walked in the room, and this little girl that was pulled down the aisle and said, "You're not going to make a fool out of me and your mother." She was a screaming, and she was a twisting, and she was a pushing, and said, "Daddy, I'm a dying, I'm going to hell. Oh, Daddy, pull my feet out of the fire. Daddy, if you hadn't pulled me down the aisle, that old schoolhouse, maybe I wouldn't be going to hell. Daddy, pull me out of the fire," and pushed herself up the headboard and slumped over in the bed, and she died and went to hell. Friend, I'm not telling you something I've heard of. I'm telling you something this old boy seen. You don't make fun of the gospel. You don't make fun of the word of God. You don't make fun, friend, of what Jesus did at Calvary. I'm here this morning. I love you. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't hurt you. But I don't want you to go to hell this morning. I don't know of a greater timing on this homecoming day at Gateway Baptist Church. Souls can be saved. People get right with God and say, "We're going to do a work for God." Hey, you say, "Preacher, do you believe that Cornelius got saved?" Look over in chapter 11 and verse number 14 and 15. "Who shall tell these words whereby thine and all thy house shall be saved?" And I began to speak. The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Thank God, brother, in chapter 11, oh, Cornelius, his army, his Italian band, his friends, and his household got saved by the grace of God. Woo! I mean, listen, only had heard the gospel one time and got saved. Well, if you only heard the gospel one time and got saved, glory to God, that's biblical. I know the devil attacked you and say, "Well, hey, how do you know you got saved?" Thank God, I'm glad I know, because I was there that Sunday morning. Asked him to come into my heart and life. Mama didn't do it for me. Daddy didn't do it for me. Thank God it's just me and him. Woo! And he saved me by his amazing grace. I'm here to tell you this morning, you couldn't be in no better place than Gateway Baptist Church and just let God save you by his good grace. Hey, Cornelius knew that he needed something. He knew his people needed something. He knew his army needed something. And he said, "Lord, whatever it is." He said, "You call a man named Peter." Huh? I'm glad, glory to God, y'all got a fellow over here named Dr. Ray Stewart. Hey, call on him. Hey, when God's dealing with you, you need something, hear from God, call on this dear man of God right here. Man, that's what God's got him here for. He's got us scattered out all over this country, men to keep folks out of hell, friend. I'm here to tell you this morning, thank God. I'm here to tell you this morning, he's still in the saving business. He's still doing what people are letting him do. But hey, friend, he'll come. He'll knock at your heart's door. But you have to open up and let him in this morning if you get saved by the good grace of God. Let me say again this morning, I've messed with fire all of my life, Brother Stewart. And thank God I've never been burnt. Very little. Get a finger burn or something like that, and that's about it. And how touchy, and even how painful that is. To imagine me to leave God out of my life, and Christ out of my heart, and die and go to hell forever and forever. Can't imagine that this morning. You say, "Why didn't you get saved?" I was scared of going to hell. I don't know about scared. Hey, friend, you get concerned about where you're going to spend eternity this morning, it'll shake you in your boots. Amen. Brother, I laid of a night under conviction. That time there wasn't that many planes back years ago. But once in a while, a plane go over and scare me to death. I'd get up, see if there's a coming of the Lord. I'd heard my dad preaching much on the second coming. I'm telling you, friend, every time there's a big shake or a big boom or something, back in those days, brother, Stuart, we shot a lot of dynamite blowing out stumps and cleaning up new grounds. And sometimes all of a sudden, neighbor over there set off a pile of dynamite blowing out some stumps. Man, that shake me up. I wonder if there's the Lord coming. And I said, I better do something about that. And 50 years ago this past Sunday, I did it. Glory to God, I'm going to tell you, it's been exciting ever since. Gateway, we come this morning with a homecoming. But here's a biblical homecoming before us this morning in Acts chapter 10 of Cornelius and his folks. And they all get the gospel. And they all got saved. Boy, that's exciting. That's exciting this morning when people get saved. There at Northwood, where I used to pastor, man I prayed for 20 years. His name was Vance Calloway. One of the meanest men in our county. They declared his buddy an outlaw and fixing to declare him an outlaw some years ago, and they was going to shoot him on sight. And Vance gave himself up. And so he went to prison. He stole, I guess, from everybody in that county. He's bragged to how mean he's been. He's rough and tough. Some of our folks at Northwood there stopped him. Just happened one Saturday morning, and he was out in the yard, and they just stopped and said, we're on visitation from Northwood Baptist Church, and Vance, we've rode him down this road to your house, but said, we just want to stop and tell you we're concerned about you. Like, see, you get saved. He said, would you take me to church in the morning? They said, we sure will. And they stopped and picked Vance up and brought him. You know where he went to when he got to church? Come down and sat right there on the front bench. Dirty, nasty, living in the basement of an old house like a varmint. It's pitiful. And old Vance sat there and heard our pastor preach a glorious gospel. And Brother Stewart, he didn't walk to the altar and bowed. But from that front bench to the altar, he just hit her face first and just slung himself into the altar and cried out and said, God, if you could save an old sinner, I want to be saved. I sat by Vance Sunday night at church, and he said, ain't it good to be saved? Folks can't even believe it. My son-in-law works the sound system, and he's over the telephone up in the balcony. And the other day, there's an old lady called and said, I'm so-and-so, live on Center Road, and said, is there a man there named Vance Calloway in church this morning? And he said, sure is. He's sitting down on the front bench. She said, well, it ain't him then. She said, somebody's up here in my barn stealing some stuff. Said, I just sure it's Vance. Said, he stole everything around here. And said, but he told me he got saved. And said, I just want to make sure. And said, no, he's down here in church. She said, well, it ain't him. That's somebody else. That's the kind of record that he has. Went over shopping center the other week. Vance got drunk some years back and lost his teeth. And he ain't got him no teeth back, and he just gums everything. Had him a bunch of tracks from Northwood Baptist Church, and he's walking up down the sidewalks, and he said, let me give you a track. He'll tell you how to stay out of hell. Let me give you a track. He'll tell you how to stay out. They can't believe it. Can't believe it. But almost a year before he got saved, he was over in the town, and he had an old pistol in his pocket. He was going to sell. He's needing some money. And somebody called law and saw him. And he fell in it, and he didn't supposed to have that. And it wasn't loaded, but they wrote him up as loaded and all of that and throwed the book at him. And so that came up the other week. And he hadn't told the preacher about it. And so he had a trial, and he went to trial there in our town and said, do you plead guilty or not guilty? And he said, I'm not guilty. He said, they charged me having a gun hit loaded. And he said, I didn't have no bullets. I just going to sell the gun. And the judge had been so messed with Vance for so many years. He said, Vance, I'm going to send you down to Dorothy Dix, and we're going to have you mentally evaluated again. And he said, I'm going to leave you there for 60 days. And he said, yes, sir, Your Honor. And they come to lead him off in the stand. And he said, Judge, I'd like to say a word to you. And he said, yes, sir. He said, I'll go to Dorothy Dix and I'll pull 60 days down there. But he said, Judge, I won't tell you I don't have to go to hell now. Son, that shook that whole town. They can't believe it. I'm going to tell you this morning, God will save the wicked this morning. He'll save whosoever will. Thank God, old Vance come a few months ago, got saved by the good grace of God. I'm telling you, he's a testimony in our town. People can't even believe it. The Lord can't believe it. And you know what? They kept him only 3 days down at Dorothy Dix. Said, this man's got something everybody needs. And called Yakin County and said, come and get him. Put him back in jail, out of the jailer. Said, I don't want him. Brought him back on Wednesday evening, Brother Stewart. And at 7 o'clock, he was in prayer service. Stood up and said, church, none of them wants me anymore. Said, I'm glad y'all love me. Amen. I'm here to tell you, friend, this thing works in the heart of the wicked this morning. Hey, Cornelius got saved, his army, his band, just because that they trusted what Jesus did at Calvary. Let us stand. I'm not done. I'm just going to quit, Brother Stewart. Woo, come right on. Father, thank you for the glorious gospel. Lord, we could just preach on and on and tell folks how it works and how Jesus saves. Lord, I pray this morning for every man, woman, boy, girl that's lost without God. Lord, I pray they'll get saved by the good grace of God. Lord, they'll come now this moment and trust Christ as their Savior. I pray give them grace to receive the glorious gospel. In thy name we pray. Amen.